See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
I've got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And Joe, we have a special guest tonight. I don't know, I don't know why I chose the Halloween music, but we have a special guest tonight, all the way from Ogden, Iowa. He is an audiobook narrator, and in fact, he narrated my audiobook for The Last House, along with, what's the name of the production company? What's it called?
Fright Night Audio.
Yeah, Fright Night Audio. And then he's also, we're gearing up, I for The Devil's Glen, which was my first novel, we're doing a new audiobook that Derek is narrating, and it will come out as soon as we have a new, because it's going to be part of a whole new relaunch of the book with a new book cover and everything. So hopefully that'll happen soon-ish, within the next month or so, hopefully. But I'll announce more as we get closer, you know, or you know, pretty soon once we kind of have an idea of when it's going to launch. So I'll announce that on our socials. Not that I don't spend too much time on there anymore, but I need to post more on our CineScare pages, you know, especially the fan page. So
you should post more about the Ryan algorithm. Philippi.
Yeah.
Philippi? What's Ryan, that? How do you pronounce it? Philippe?
Ryan Philippi?
Not a fan. Yeah.
You're not a fan of him?
He hasn't done anything. No. He has just doesn't do anything for me. Huh. I don't think he's convincing in anything.
I can't think of what else he's been. What has he been in?
Just tons of stuff. He was in MacGruber.
of all Five the movies, Fingers. You pulled that one out.
Well, it was, you know. Gosford wasn't he Park.
In? Was he in one of? Was he in a horror movie?
I know he was in. I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh, that's right.
The original.
Yeah.
1997. I didn't believe him then, and I don't believe him now.
Yeah.
This is pick on Ryan Philippi Day.
It's such a random person to be picking on. I don't understand.
He's an ass.
Yeah. I don't know.
He's coasted on his looks for too long.
Yeah. Not like you and me.
No. Yeah. We gave up those laurels long time ago.
Yeah.
Derek,
though, is a good looking guy. Look at him. He's all tatted up.
I know. I feel out of place.
I know. What are we doing here?
I thought this was radio.
Yeah. So
look at me. I'm a mess.
Yeah. So Derek, tell us a little bit about an audiobook. Now, it seems like you're doing mostly horror. Have you done other books other than horror?
Yeah, so my full-time job is actually, I'm an editor and proofer and overall sound engineer for Aethon Books. That's kind of my boss ended up giving me a safe series to give a newbie to try out, and that was like a 4-book series. So that's kind of how I learned, and that was kind of like a fantasy urban fantasy kind of deal. It was a play off of Sword and Sorcery. It's called Semi-Autos and Sorcery. So it was a fun, weird little one, but that's how I got started. And I do stuff for his. They mainly do like fantasy and lit RPG. So I've done a couple of titles for them and a couple thrillers too. Mm. But yeah, horror is definitely, I've just always been a huge bookworm, and specifically with horror. Like it started as Goosebumps when I was like in third grade, and I went to parochial school. So one year they had issues with that. And luckily my parents were like, no, he's reading. Let him do it. So, and then I jumped to Stephen King. I kind of went over the young adult genre.
Yeah.
That's quite a leap.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. From Goosebumps. Well, it's, I mean, it's a logical leap, though, from Goosebumps to Stephen King. And no Fear Street in between?
A couple Fear Street. I was kind of fully into getting into the heavier stuff by the time I started finding out about Fear Street, but I actually just found my box full of them the other day. I got them back here, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think those Goosebumps maybe came out when I was in high school. I don't really remember now when those first came out, but it was kind of after my age of really being interested in that. I was already into like Stephen King by then. But I, as a teacher, when I first started out, I was teaching middle school. And so those kids got into those Goosebumps books for sure. What was it? Night of the Scarecrow, I think, was one of them.
Yep.
That was a good one.
I'd say one of the bigger, the Slappy, the dummy ones.
Yeah.
You know, they, like I said, the school I went to had an issue with them, but once I found out about Animorphs, though, they dealt with much heavier themes. There's one character who had to, his mom got infected by like the alien, the bad guys in this series, and she was just gone. It was just a husk being controlled by this alien. And so the character had to deal with killing his own mom. Like, you don't have to deal with that in Goosebumps.
It's like, man. Yeah. Yeah. So what do you have? Any books that you want to tell us about that you've got out that you think people should check out in terms of your audiobook narrating?
Yeah, so I'm still a little bit newer. This is year two of getting into this, but I've had a few strong starts, including The Last House. I think you had only gotten one or two done by the time we had connected. Mm-hmm. But early on, I got to do one book by an author named Gord Rollo, who he's been one of my favorites since I was like a teenager. I was working in like a Hastings bookstore, or video media store, and it's long gone now. But his first three books came out on Leisure Books, and I just kept finding them like on my breaks. I go check out the horror section, and so it was really cool. And that book in particular, The Jigsaw Man, was one of my favorites for the longest time. So again, that was like my third or fourth one I got to actually narrate. And I've gotten to talk to him a lot. I've done two other ones. One should be coming out in another week or two. And that one's a Weird West. What's that?
For him?
Yep. He's more or less said that he wants me to do like his whole catalog if I want to. So I'm going to pepper those in.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Projects. Yeah. More recently I did a book called Dead End Tunnel by a newer indie horror author named Nick Roberts, who's really starting to blow up. His biggest book is called The Exorcist House, which is normally I don't like possession or demon related. They usually just don't do too much for me, but the way this one plays out and the way it's written, it's pretty fun. And I believe he just posted, he kind of alluded to meeting with Magnet. So he's in the process of getting it turned into a feature film. It's getting that much attention. Wow. But that one's fun. It's a short one. And I'm working on, he's got a new, actually got the copy right here. He's got a new anthology coming out called Nocturnal by Nature.
Oh.
It's got 11 short stories in it that are really fun. I'm having a blast doing that one. So when that's out, that's going to be a pretty popular one. And then after that, I got an author named Ellen Kaplan, and he's got this one that, and they're all active in the Books of Horror group on Facebook, but he's got this H.P. Lovecraft style one called Usher of the Fallen.
Nice.
And then last but not least, Michael McBride, who's a name I've heard of before, but I never really actually got a chance to read before. He's got a new one that came out a few weeks ago called Spores, which is that one's going to be really fun, I think, too.
Oh, nice.
So he's supposed to be really popular. So, and these are all coming from Joe Hempel at Fright Night Audio. He's really kind of taken me under my wing, become a mentor, and
nice,
and a pretty good friend so far. So he's hooking me up.
That's great.
Yeah, I've shown I can deliver, I guess. So
No, that's great. Have you done any books for Wicked House Publishing?
No, I've kind of, right now I'm still kind of happy kind of bouncing between Fright Night and Aethon for whatever they want to give me to narrate.
Yeah.
But that one is on my radar to eventually get to.
The guy who runs that, Patrick Ruman, is a friend of mine. And he was actually on our show a couple years ago. Yeah.
I think I remember you. I think we briefly talked about that at one point.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, yeah, he's definitely, I have some books in my to read pile from Wicked House actually. So
yeah, I think he's launched that a year and a half ago, and they already and then he just signed on with some big publishing distributor. So he's really turned that into something huge. So good for him.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's cool seeing the literary world, especially with horror, take off as well as it can. Cause it's always the underdog. So
yeah. All right. Joe. So Joe,
Matt,
what have you watched recently? If you don't have any questions for Derek.
I'm not much of a reader.
Well, I have to be.
Although that is the one glorious thing about the literature aspect of things is that there's no found footage books out there. So.
There are. There's found audio ones.
Yeah.
All right. Derek's off the show.
Yeah.
I think your mic might be turned the wrong way. You're a little soft. But Joe's lying. I know he reads. He reads books. So.
I do.
Yeah.
Not as often as I like to.
Yeah.
Because I'm too busy watching movies.
There's that velvety voice.
There I am. I would like to, not just because of the day that this will come out, which of course I believe will be Valentine's Day, to help young lovers out there who are trying to, if they don't have like a high maintenance gal that's just demanding them go to the movie theaters and off to $1 million dinner, if they just want to sit at home and watch a nice romance horror tinted movie, I would like to bring back Spontaneous from 2020 with Catherine Langford and Charlie Plummer. I highly recommend you putting that at your viewing list so that you can get through that as your Valentine's Day date night.
Yeah.
So that's my personal recommendation to all the young lovers out there.
Yes, that's a great one. Or Warm Bodies. That was a fun one too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that one.
I don't know. Hard Eyes is coming out too.
Speaking of Hard Eyes,
I just saw that this weekend. I do want to point out a couple things first. Matt, I told you that one of my New Year's resolutions this year was going to be using Letterboxd more.
Yeah.
And I found the one flaw. I have, but I so much so that I found the flaw in it.
What?
It's only got a database of movies, not television.
Right. Unless it's a series that is a one-off miniseries, like a series that doesn't plan to have more than one season. That's right. Yeah. No, it's mainly for movies. Yeah.
Because I, if you can't tell from my dulcet tones, I've been sick for the past 13 days. And while I was sick at home in bed, I decided to, and this isn't exactly horror, but I watched the entire Arcane series off of Netflix. Hmm. Are you familiar with this at all?
No.
It is a animated series by a company called Fortiche.
Yeah.
I don't know, but they're into their second season now. The second season's been put to bed, I don't know, a month or two ago. Visually stunning 3D and 2D mapping in this. It's absolutely gorgeous to look at, and I can't recommend it enough. Matt, you would particularly like this. There's a bit of a steampunk type atmosphere to it.
What's it called again?
Arcane, Arcane.
Okay.
On Netflix. It's completely free. I believe there's two seasons of 10, maybe 9, 8, somewhere around in there. It's not terribly long, but you have plenty of time to catch up watching them all because it takes so long for them to put this together. It's just beautiful. Hmm. So storyline is also fantastic. Some great voiceover artists as well. Anyway, then back to my actual things that I've watched. As most recent as last night, I finally finished Tombs of the Blind Dead from 1972, which is a Spanish film. Don't watch this. The only reason I did is because I've had it on VHS. A friend of mine gave it to me back in the early 2000s. Said, here you go. And I've had it sitting in a drawer forever, and I've never watched it. until yesterday when I noticed it was on Shudder. It's about these Templar type ghosts who are haunting this, or skeletons, I guess, undead, who are haunting this little town in Mexico. And it's another one of those, hey, let's put on a movie so we have an excuse to demoralize women and rip their shirts off type of thing. And the gore is few and far between. A lot of reused footage, especially the slow motion images of the Knights of the Templar as ghosts trotting on their horses in slow motion over. And like, I've seen that one clip of them riding away about seven times throughout the movie. It was entertaining, I guess. Back in 1972, this may have been considered scary, but to me, it was absolutely wasted. What else? I watched Thirst Trap, based off of your recommendation. Yes. Yeah. And fairly decent. I agree with your review saying that this could have been cut down a little bit and it would have been a tighter film. Would have worked better as a short. I think Grace Gordon, though, she's not bad at all in this film. I could see her going on to do a decent number of things.
Yeah.
And I saw, as we were talking about... And not an easy
part to play when you're kind of by yourself, acting like you're talking to... that would not be easy to act like you're a cam girl talking to people in a chat room when there isn't anybody there. You know, that's not easy. And I thought she did... She was believable.
Yeah. She's basically stuck in a room on a camera.
And, right.
You know, go.
Yeah.
Not the easiest thing to do. I also saw Hard Eyes, which Matt, I know you did. And I will say there's some suspension of disbelief needed in this particular film. It's okay. I think I gave it 3 out of 5. It's just, it's been done. You know, I've seen this. If you like the Scream franchise, I'm sure you're going to like this movie quite a bit. And last but not least, I also saw Companion, which I liked about the same. I thought Jack Quaid was pretty darn good in that. And what's the girl's name?
She was from Heretic.
Heretic. Sophie Thatcher.
Yeah.
Sophie Thatcher was really good.
I've heard some good things about it.
It seemed to run out of steam in the third act. Nice little twist. First act was great. Second act, very compelling. Third act, it just sort of gave way to Chase. And that was about it. And my wife and I both saw that in the theater, and we both looked at each other and when the whole thing was done and gave it a resounding meh. It was just okay. So, but still, as of right now, best movie of 2025.
See, when I heard it, Hard Eyes, when I look at it, if I go see it, like, I know my mentality is going to go in just to have fun with a horror movie.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try to, that's the impression I get from seeing it. Companion, though, that seemed like that was supposed to be something deeper or more, or just funnier, more intelligently funny, but that's interesting to hear.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard good things about it, but I don't really know much about it.
I will say this, I absolutely love the mask design for Hard Eyes. And I think that's the most compelling thing about the movie. My downfall in every movie is there's nowhere near enough gore. They spent way too much time talking. There should have been more kills. It should have been more fun. I'm not saying every movie needs to be Evil Dead Rise, but it should be closer to it on the scale.
Yeah.
Or Terrifier 3. But somewhere a happy medium I would be more okay with. But... it's just a little too many talking heads for me.
My philosophy with horror is it's the same way I treat pizza is even when it's bad, it's good. So I usually find something I like about just about anything.
Derek, what have you watched recently?
Most recently, I dove into the VHS franchise. I ended up kind of watching one a night for a while and enjoyed most of them.
Yeah.
But I think the third one, Viral, was the only one that fell really short with me. It just seemed like it was, but it still had one really good story in it. That Parallel Monsters, I think it's called.
Yeah. Yeah. That I thought part two had probably the single best sequence, and the zombie that, or the guy, the zombie with the GoPro on his helmet, you know.
Was it like, two, or was that one later?
I thought it was been, two.
Yeah.
It was a biker and he gets bit, and then he's, but he's got a GoPro on his helmet, and then he's running around. I thought that was really good. And I liked part one a lot. And then all the rest of them have something, you know, even the most recent one, I thought the most recent one had a couple pretty cool sequences, but yeah.
I was surprised by how much I liked Beyond, because I really thought they were going to start going downhill, but then the 94, 99, and 89 were all a lot better than three, at least, I thought.
Yeah. 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 What was it? I think 94 was pretty strong. There was maybe one sequence I didn't like so much, but yeah.
Was that the one? Which one had the empty wake? Because I know that's probably my favorite one out of the whole series.
Yeah, that one was 94, I think. Yeah, and that was great. That was really good. Yeah.
And then otherwise I watched, I realized I'd never actually seen many Vincent Price movies. So I started watching kind of a little marathon. I'd only ever seen like House on Haunted Hill before.
No, that's not a bad pick, actually. Not a bad idea for a theme. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I checked out the Tingler. Which I thought that one was going to be kind of cheesy. I ended up really, really liking that one. And just for the sheer old schoolness of it. And then the Oblong Box. And I couldn't find it streaming, but I bought a copy of The Abominable Dr. Fibes and with the sequel. So that one I'm going to watch pretty soon.
Nice.
Yeah, that's about it for me lately.
Yeah, the only thing really I watched that... was new, I guess, this time was Hard Eyes, which I thought it was fine. I mean, we had fun. We had a good crowd, pretty good. They were semi rowdy, I guess, but everybody seemed to be having a good time. And, we had fun with it. I wasn't expecting much. And I kind of, When I saw the previews, I was like, that's one I'll wait for streaming. But then, you know, we were looking for something to do this weekend, and I heard a couple people on Letterboxd say that they had fun with it. So I was like, let's go see it. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was it's nothing great. I thought it was more, I wouldn't say it's gory, but I thought it had some pretty good kills for the kind of movie it wanted to be. It's not trying to be a gory movie, but I thought there were a couple solid kills, and you know, like the one in the van I thought was pretty good, and there were a couple. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't bloodless, that's for sure. I wouldn't call it a gory movie, but
I will say it started off with a bang.
Yeah
The proposal at the very beginning of the film, that couple, that was off to a great start.
Yeah, and then the girl in the thing. So I thought I didn't want to say too much because I don't want to give away the kill, but that girl at the beginning in that thing, was a good kill. And so I don't agree that there wasn't enough gore for what it wanted to be. I mean, it's, you know, I thought it had a plenty for what it was trying to do, and it could have been funnier. And I think it, you know,
I was going to ask if it was supposed to be a comedy or anything.
It is. Yeah.
Oh, it is. There were some funny moments. With couples bending over to pick up the same thing at the same time, their heads bumping as they come back out. There's a lot of that.
What was it, like Austin Powers? Like those guys movies?
But it was there aren't a lot of rom-com horror movies, you know? So it was, I thought it was fine for what it was trying to do. And I think it'll definitely play well on streaming. Or if you're looking for something to do on Valentine's Day and you're into horror and everything, she's into horror, you could do worse, but it'll definitely play well on, I think it'll play well on streaming, for sure.
I think what they're trying to create is a bridge movie that if the guy is into horror, but the girl might not be,
right,
that she might be okay. Coming to that
or
movie,
vice versa. So. You know, you never know.
So it's like the reverse rom-com thought process.
Yeah.
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 Throw the guy from 300 in. They'll bring their boyfriends. It's fine.
Yeah.
Gerard Butler. Yeah. For
yeah.
That one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or Ryan Phillippe.
Yeah. Joe suddenly got a hankering for Ryan Phillippe. I'm not sure.
He's on my list.
Yeah. So, well, that's all I saw. I don't know. I still recommend, Joe, you watch, Hysteria. You got to check that out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, I heard that wasn't getting a second season. I haven't checked it out yet,
though. Oh, you heard that? Oh, really? They announced
yeah,
that?
I saw some kind of announcement.
The first season pretty much wraps things up for the moment. I mean, it leaves it open for a second season, but that's too bad because it was there. I'm
such a
it.
Huge Bruce Campbell fan.
Yeah,
I'm surprised I haven't jumped on it yet. I'm gonna have to go see it now. I kind of forgot about it.
It's great. We really loved it. So, all right.
What streaming service is that on again?
Peacock or no? Yeah, Peacock, I think. Mm-hmm. It's either Peacock or Paramount Plus, but I think it's Peacock. Oh, I guess the other thing I should mention is that I have been watching the new season of, I guess it's a prequel series of Dexter. God, what's it called?
Original Sin.
Original Sin, yeah. And if you're into Dexter, you'll love it. It's got the cheesy narration, the on the nose narration is there and it almost leans into it, you know. But it's fine. I think it's, you know, if you got a hankering for Dexter, I think you'll enjoy it. It's definitely better than maybe the last couple seasons of the original series. Ooh. So which were pretty rough. But this is, you know, it's I think the girl who plays the young Deborah is pretty spot on, and the guy who plays the young Dexter does a really pretty good job. So it's good, definitely entertaining. So
nice. Do you ever read the books?
No, I haven't read the books. No,
Dexter, they're pretty drastically different.
Yeah, I've heard.
Like the first book and the first season are similar elements, but they end very differently, and they go in totally different trajectories. So.
Yeah,
but they're fun.
That's kind of like True Blood. I think the books are Suki Stackhouse series, and they called it True Blood on HBO. The first season and maybe the second season were very close, and then it just went the TV show went in a completely different direction that actually wasn't as good as the books. But
hey, all right. Speaking of things to watch if you're going to just stay at home on Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. When this episode comes out, there's also The Gorge on Apple Plus.
Mm.
Have you heard of this?
No. Oh, yes.
It's Anya Taylor-Joy in a horror movie.
Yeah. Is it a movie or a series?
It's a movie. Two highly trained operatives become close after being sent to protect opposite sides of a mysterious gorge. When an evil emerges, they must work together to survive whatever lies within. It's 2 hours long. It's got to be a movie.
I remember seeing the trailer for this one. It did look really good.
Yeah. I'm just surprised those two together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm fine with it, but, you know, good for them. Ooh, Sigourney Weaver's in it, too.
Also, if you have not been watching, I don't know if you, Joe, do you watch Severance? Speaking of Apple TV Plus, new season of Severance is out, and there's about four episodes in. It's pretty strong.
Yeah, it reads like stereo instructions. It's so easy to follow.
Yeah, no, it's
I'm so friggin' lost.
I don't even try to keep up. It's
I just keep hoping that the next episode I watch will be the one that answers all my questions.
Oh, it's not going. If you're expecting that, you're going to be frustrated, Joe. It's not going to.
I am frustrated. It never does. Yeah, it's just bizarre. I did start listening to that podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott.
Oh, the Severance. Is there a Severance podcast?
Severance one. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that helping you?
Not yet.
Yeah. No.
It probably won't, but.
Yeah, no, I highly doubt it would, but it's such a cool concept. I love it.
Oh, yeah. So. I'm still liking it quite a bit.
Yeah.
I think Apple Plus is the only streaming service I don't have, so I've yet to check it out, but I keep hearing so much about it.
Yeah, it's great. It's really good. It's one of my favorites that's out right now. So, okay, so here we go. And this week's pick is mine, and I picked, well, what I was originally going to do was, because David Lynch died a few weeks ago, I was going to do a David Lynch episode, but I can't do a David Lynch episode without Wild at Heart. So I really was struggling. Like, I could do Wild at Heart, Mulholland Drive, and, you know, Inland Empire or whatever, Lost Highway, something like that. But I really, if I'm going to do David Lynch, I would definitely want Wild at Heart to be a part of it. So and Wild at Heart is not available to stream anywhere. It's not available to rent anywhere. It's only available, I think you can buy the DVD or something like that. So I had to rethink it, and I thought, well, why don't I just do, in honor of David Lynch, do Surreal Horror. I'll include Blue Velvet and then have a couple other movies that were obviously either also surreal in the case of one of the movies, but not necessarily influenced because it came out not pre David Lynch, but, you know, it might have been influenced by Eraserhead, I suppose, but you know, Altered States came out in 1980. So, you know, I don't know. A movie that obviously I think the filmmaker is heavily influenced, or at least does surreal work. So that's what we went with. So let's just start things off in 1980 with Altered States starring William Hurt. And it is also, it's directed by Ken Russell. And Ken Russell, actually, I read that he was the 27th choice to direct Altered States. They had 26 wow. different people say no to directing Altered States. It came from a novel by Paddy Chayefsky. And I guess that a lot of the reason that people said no is because Paddy Chayefsky is kind of crazy. And they feared that he was going to be a problem, and he definitely was a problem on the set of this. Ken Russell and him fought and fought and fought, and they could not change dialogue, and Paddy Chayefsky wanted this dialogue to be almost over-explaining everything, which you see evidence of that in this movie, where people are having conversations at a bar talking about all these philosophical concepts that don't sound like natural conversations. That's all because Paddy Chayefsky, the writer, would not let them change the dialogue to make it fit in a more naturalistic way for film. And so that Ken Russell's way to deal with that was to have them try to just have other things going on while they're talking, or have all this activity, pouring beers, doing this and that, moving around, touching each other, and then mumbling the dialogue was his way of combating that. He eventually had to kick Paddy Chayefsky, the writer. He had to kick him off the set, and he was eventually banned from the set. So Altered States is about a psychophysiologist experimenting with drugs in sensory deprivation tank and has visions he believes are genetic memories. So basically, this guy believes that with the combination of drugs and an isolation chamber, he can tap into the memories in your own molecules and atoms that would, because all of our atoms came from someplace after the big, or came from the Big Bang. So he believes that you could tap, that those atoms have memories, and that you can tap into those memories and actually go all the way back to the first primitive people, and maybe even back to the Big Bang. That's basically the idea. It's a lot of pseudoscience mumbo jumbo, but it's very interesting. It's definitely, I don't know that I would say it's the most straightforward of these movies, although it probably is. All these movies have a certain level of dream logic to them, which is true of surreal film and horror. But in this case, the dream logic is mostly contained to the isolation chamber hallucinations. So it kind of is contained in an area where the hallucinations should happen, whereas the other two movies that we watched, the whole film is is basically the whole story is set up in a dream logic sort of scenario. Anyway, William Hurt's in it. I love William Hurt. He was big at this time period, the early 80s, where William Hurt was the Meryl Streep of men. Bob Balaban, love this guy. He's great in it. Blair Brown, you may remember her from the Nights and Days of Molly Dodd. I don't know if you remember her, Joe. Do you remember that show?
Not
the Days and Nights
bit.
Of a little bit.
No, not one bit.
Oh, okay, you're a little soft. I'm not one bit. Okay, having trouble hearing.
But I do remember Charles Hayde. What a dick!
Yeah,
he just seems so angry that he's doing his job.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I thought William Hurt was a very unlike. William Hurt is like Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory, but with swagger. Uh-huh. It's like he's very cavalier, picking up chicks. It's like he meets somebody and 5 minutes later, he's like, I want to take you home and have sex with you.
Well,
you'd be okay with that, right?
Yeah.
At least he's getting consent.
He doesn't even really have like great moves. He just says, I think we should go have sex.
Yes. But he picked the right one because Blair Brown follows suit. Like, well, I think we should just get married.
Yeah.
It's very straight laced, very logical, very scientific.
No muss, no fuss.
Very casual with the decision.
Yeah.
Yes. Very cavalier. I just wish most relationships were like this. I would like to point out this is the acting debut of a young Miss Drew Barrymore.
Yep. Yeah.
Played one of their children.
Yeah.
I'm definitely one of those IMDbers as I'm watching. So I picked that. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
But I would like to go back to what I said.
Charles Hayde never isn't angry in any performance he gives. Like Hill Street Blues, any other film that you've ever seen Charles Hayde in, he's always yet mad about something.
Yeah. Dude, we asked you, do you want to be a part of this experiment? If so, this is what's going to be required of you.
Exactly.
If you don't like it, feel free to voice your opinion over and over and over again. And he doesn't just yell at the guys like William Hurt and Bob Balaban doing the experiment. He's yelling at everybody that he works with, including, Dan Fielding, John Larroquette.
Yeah.
John Larroquette is supposed to be developing x-rays and he's getting his ass handed to him by this guy.
Yeah.
Just kind of like back off.
Yeah, no, he's mad about everything, but yet he's helping. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Think he would just be the guy who would quit immediately, but no, he's the one who was with him at the end.
I'll be with you from beginning to end, but I'm not going to like a single minute.
I'm going to yell at you the whole time. He outlasted Bob Balaban, for God's sake.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of understand the concept that they were trying to go for as far as the regression, and I can see being in an isolation tank and taking the right drugs and everything that you could regress physically, you know, and hair start to grow and whatnot. The only thing that threw
your
me
muscles was atrophy.
The only thing that threw me was the teeth. How could your teeth decay that much in like an hour?
Yeah.
Because he comes back and he looks like, you know, Pauly Shore, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Going back to the angry guy for a second, I did kind of crack. I did crack a good smile when he starts yelling his credentials at them in that one scene.
Yeah,
he's just listing all of his achievements and saying, "This I'm
here's my list, goddamn resume."
He gets out his resume and starts reading off all of his accomplishments. I worked at Montgomery Ward for 10 years.
Been published in this magazine for every year for 2 full years. And
I started out temping.
Yeah. Did the last 5 minutes to anybody else, did the last 5 minutes of this movie seem like the Aha Take On Me video?
Yeah.
Where he's like walking down the hallway and he's like banging into the walls left and right.
I'm so glad you said that because I was thinking to myself, there's something else I've seen that obviously copied this scene.
Yeah.
And it was the Aha video because it was he did the exact same thing.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe. Sitting on a toilet on each other's laps.
Yep, exactly. We're in tune.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was interesting that you mentioned that trivia about the dialogue, because as soon as they started rolling on that, I just stopped. I need subtitles for this. Hold on.
Yeah.
But I kind of, I always kind of like the, for me, that whenever it's very dialogue driven, it makes me like lean in to like focus a lot more.
Yeah.
Just to keep, because whenever that's the vehicle is in this and the setup is all this rapid fire conversation happening, which I feel like was, is definitely more of a common trait in 80s and some 90s horror movies for the most part.
Spielberg movies.
Like everything a lot of today is just kind of spoon fed to you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But Spielberg's dialogue often did that too. He would get a lot of exposition out very quickly and had the actors talk really fast in some of his movies. But
I felt bad for the kids.
So what did you guys think of this movie? Did you like it? Had you seen it before? I don't know. Oh, we lost our guy.
I'm here.
Shall I go on? I do enjoy the film. This is the second time I've seen it. Although I will say, out of all the movies that you picked, this is probably the one that I like the least out of the three.
Mm-hmm.
It's I think there's a lot of the psycho babbled stuff that I could have done without. I kind of wish William Hurt was almost more of a likable character so that I could get behind him. But as a character, as our main leading man, he just seems so cold and heartless that I don't have any of connection with him. I kind of have to attach my, you know, we're hip to hip down this little journey that he's going on, whether I like it or not. I'm not rooting for him, but it's an interesting concept.
His character isn't likable at all. No. Yeah.
And I don't know that it should be. I just kind of wish as the viewer that he was.
So. I mean, it makes sense that he's not, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. He's very clinical, but he's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's true. And he's kind of a mad genius type, I guess, is what he's supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, if he was a nicer guy and a better dancer and a swell dad, then he probably wouldn't have done what he was doing. That's true. I get it, but yeah. So, but I still enjoy it. This is, like I said, this is the second time I've seen this film. To be brutally honest, will probably be my last.
Yeah. I this was really the first time I saw it. I a lot of it looked familiar, so I know I've seen parts, but I don't think I've ever sat down and watched it end to end. It was one of those that I think if I saw it on HBO or something like that, I probably watched parts and or watched the end or whatever. Because a lot of it looked familiar. If I ever did watch it before, I don't remember it. And there were a lot of parts I didn't remember. So
it was I'm in college. This is I'm going to watch trippy movies phase.
Yeah.
And it totally fit the bill, which is also about when I was watching Blue Velvet. So,
well, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, Derek had a little, I think he had an issue with his Wi-Fi or something because he'd kind of dropped out. So we'll just keep going. Unless you're here, Derek, are you here? Are you in another dimension?
Derek.
There he is. All right.
Okay. I could see and hear you the whole time. I was like, I was trying to interject and stuff. And I was like, I don't think they can hear me.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
But for Altered States, I'd only heard the name, so I went in completely blind on it. But I really enjoyed it. I always liked those trippier ones, and I was surprised when in the first sequence where he came out as a Neanderthal or simian, whichever the classification it was. I could get on board with it. And then it gave me like From Beyond vibes a lot of the time. And I was gonna say, no, you heard me talk about the dialogue, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because then you cut out after that, so I wasn't sure.
Okay. Yeah, we heard pretty much everything you had to say, and then I think once Joe started talking, you went off our screen. So,
okay.
Anyway, all right. So our next movie is from 2018, and that is Mandy, directed by Panos Cosmatos, written by Panos Cosmatos, Aaron Stewart, and Casper Kelly. Starring Nicolas Cage, the wonderful Andrea Riseborough, who for my money, just doesn't do enough movies. I loved, what was the movie, Brandon Cronenberg movie came out a few years ago that she was in that was so good. The one where she goes in, she's an assassin and she takes over people's body to assassinate somebody.
Possession?
Possessor.
Possessor.
Yeah, yeah, Possessor. That was such a great movie. And I think she's fantastic. And in kind of a, she's just different. It has a different look to her. But anyway, and then of course, who else? Linus Roach is in it. Richard Brake is in it briefly. So this is the enchanted lives of a couple in a secluded forest are brutally shattered by a nightmarish hippie cult and their demon biker henchmen, propelling a man into a spiraling, surreal rampage of vengeance. And this is one of my favorite movies of all time, actually. I think it's safe to say it was one of my top movies of 2018, if not my top. And I just love this movie so much. There's so much that is just stuff I am, is just pure things I'm into. It's in my wheelhouse, I guess, is what I mean to say, including Nicolas Cage, who I absolutely love. And in this, he's terrific. And it turns out he had been married to a woman for 14 years, and it came to an abrupt end right before they shot this. And so that whole scene, and a lot of his rage, especially that scene after Mandy is killed, where he goes into the bathroom in his briefs and this shirt and a bottle of Jack Daniels and just goes off the hook. And you could tell, like, Panos Cosmatos,
it was
that a bottle of vodka. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I was remembering it was clear.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. And he just goes off the chain in that scene. And I love every moment of that shot. I love the way it's set up. It almost looks like he's on a stage or something, and the camera moving in and out of it. It's just, God, I love that scene.
As soon as he walked through the door with the bottle and just in his underwear, I was like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
It's yeah. just any excuse for him to go unhinged in a movie is the greatest thing ever. Anymore. Oh, I'm glad it's so normalized. I know.
It's so fantastic. But in this, and sometimes when he goes unhinged, it doesn't feel earned in a lot of those movies, or it just seems like he's going off on his own thing. But in this movie, it feels earned. And it just feels right in this as more than in most of his unhinged performances. And then the cult leader, Jeremiah Sand, is sort of a Charles Manson type. And he's got a song that I'm going to play for you right now. Here it is, Joe.
I think you should get this on the soundtrack. Yeah.
Yeah. Here it is. It's called Amulet of the Weeping Maze. We'll get to it. Don't worry, Joe.
Whose heart was full of love.
This is beautiful stuff, Joe.
He wandered the land on the shifting.
Anyway,
I love it. Celebrate the guy's entire catalog.
What's that?
Was that original track they made for this? Or was that an already existing song?
It was an original track, and they're releasing like an EP. They did last year. You can get it on Waxwork Records. I haven't looked too much into it, but yeah, they're actually producing more songs years later from this that are. Right. Under the name Jeremiah Sand. So this is an onion that I will continue to peel.
It's interesting that because Smile did something similar. They actually released an album of Skylar, or what was the character's name? Skylar.
Yeah.
They actually there's actually an album of the music from that movie under that artist's name that's out there. And it's, extremely well produced, but I love that real world connection.
Right. Yeah, I love that too. And there is, and they have a, I think there's, I don't know how many songs are on the Waxwork record, maybe a couple, But it's a, it looks like a beautiful record.
It's a crying shame that they didn't name it A Grain of Sand.
Yeah. Well,
or Sands Through the Hour, something with sand.
Yeah. And Red's Tiger shirt, which I am wearing right now, is orange and black, the colors of Princeton University in New Jersey, whose basketball team is the Princeton Tigers. Also, this world is set in a 1980 world with Ronald Reagan and everything, but it's really not our world because it is, it's almost like an alternate universe of our world. Yeah, Derek, start us off. What do you, is this the first time you'd seen Mandy? No, you'd seen Mandy before. This is a revisit, right?
I had, but the first time I saw it, it was during a marathon with a buddy, and I was falling asleep hardcore. So I kept like waking up in a daze and seeing the weirdest imagery and then passing back out. So I only remember bits and pieces.
That's amazing. So, yeah.
Yeah. I kind of wake up like, what the? No. Oh, yeah. And then go back to sleep. But no, to see it all in one continuous sit down was really, I really love these fever dream type movies. And the fact that this one even had, again, Nicolas Cage was just more so on it. My first thought when we see the biker gang where the Black Skulls, I was just like, well, somebody's watched Hellraiser a few too many times, but
yeah,
they all seem like Cenobites to me.
Yeah, definitely.
And acted like it. So the scene where he drugs up Mandy, was that the leader's name?
Yeah, Jeremiah Sand.
Jeremiah Sand. When he shoots her up with, I'm guessing LSD in the eye, and then whatever the stinger from the freaky looking bug. Yeah. And he's talking to her, and like her face is melding in and out of his as he's giving this.
Yep.
Whole monologue, like that tripped me out watching. I was, but it was cool.
Yeah, the cinematography,
because their eyes were like perfectly centered and everything.
I love the cinematography in this movie too, which I'll look up who this. I know who it is, and now I can't think of the name, but let's see, his name is, I don't know. One of you guys keep going. I'll look for it.
It's funny you compared the Black Skull Gang to the Cenobites. I had actually thought that it was more of like the biker gang from Weird Science that comes and breaks in the house towards the end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was mostly the spikes for me and the way the light shone off one of their masks. What? It reminded me of who was the one with their vocal cords visible?
Oh,
the woman one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I just always refer to her as
there's
the
one
woman.
Shot that made me think of her.
Well, and they don't feel pain or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they Benjamin Loeb is the cinematographer, and I think the cinematography in this is just fantastic. He also did Pieces of the Woman, which was another really beautiful looking film too, but it's such a unique cinematography. Obviously, I'm sure a lot of it has to do with, you know, Panos Cosmatos' direction, and he's certainly an auteur, but also, you know, he's one of the great weirdos of all time in film, and he just makes movies every now and then. Like he doesn't seem like he needs to be working that much, but apparently he's working on two movies coming up, so I'm looking forward to that. So Joe, what do you think? Obviously you've seen Mandy before, but anything thoughts this time?
My second helping. I will say I probably appreciate it more the second time around, but I have this theory that you could really trim the fat on this and make like a super cut. You could start this movie at a minute or an hour 10 in, and it would just be a concentrated nutball of Nicolas Cage. You could start right when he goes to Bill Duke's house, that trailer in the woods, and all you have to explain is, I don't need to know who Nick Cage is. I don't need to know who his wife is. I don't need to know the bike. I don't need anything. We open up on Nicolas Cage knocking on the door, covered in blood, asking Bill Duke, I need my crossbow. And it goes from there to the end of the movie, and that would be fucking awesome. It'd only be like 45 minutes long, but it would just be concentrated Rage Cage. And that's all I really need to see. I don't really care about any of the other stuff.
Yeah.
So Next time you're in the mood to watch it, start it like at right at Bill Duke's door and see what you think.
Yeah.
So it's not going to kill you. You do have a tendency to pick a lot of movies where we're not allowed to look at people.
What do you mean?
Both this and Blue Velvet contain the lines, "Don't you fucking look at me."
Yep.
And I don't know. I didn't understand the whole, I guess, because I've never done LSD, I guess I'm not supposed to, but the whole Richard Brake, the chemist with the tiger in the cage being let go, it was neat. There's a tiger, but he left. He didn't really do anything.
Yeah, I don't know if he's making the making the drugs from the tiger, or if the tiger just kind of symbolizes, you know, like Nicolas Cage's rage coming out too. I'm not sure.
But he just got like let go. Like he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
It was just a set piece. So that kind of threw me off.
That's surreal.
Yeah, boy is it surreally real.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, also, what's the thing she finds in the woods at the beginning of the movie? Is it like a dead dinosaur?
Yeah. Unclear. Mm. Like this is a different, like an alternate universe, but yeah.
I know, but they focus that she's going for a walk in the woods. She sees this thing.
Yeah.
And it looks like a dead dinosaur.
Yeah.
Miniature one.
I thought it was like a deer, like with its ears cut off or something.
I didn't see like fur like at all. It just looked like skin.
Well, like it, might like it was rotten. Like wet and matted down.
Yeah. No, now that I think about it, I think it's just a rotting animal that,
looked like something right out of.
Or burned, maybe. I don't know.
Jurassic Park.
I can see where it looked like some kind of reptilian creature.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think too much about it.
No, but I will admit Nicolas Cage's Rage Cage scene in the bathroom is hilarious.
Yeah.
I laughed a lot more watching it this time than I did the first time. So, but yeah, it's a good film. It's worth a watch. I
did get a kick out of when he got mad when the guy ripped his shirt.
Yeah.
And he's just
don't ever give him cocaine. Don't ever rip his shirt. And you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Mandy, there's a couple references here and there to different things. Mandy says in one scene that she and Red live near Crystal Lake. Obviously that's, you know, let's see. I don't know.
I'd wondered about that when I heard it, if it was just supposed to, if it was supposed to be an Easter egg of sorts.
The number 44 on Red's shirt may have multiple meanings. A reference to Mark Twain's unfinished novel, The Mysterious Stranger, where a supernatural character called Number 44 appears and uses his supernatural powers to expose the futility of mankind's existence. Also, New York Yankees' Reggie Jackson, who was famous for hitting three straight homers and home runs in 1977. He was number 44. David Richard Berkowitz, who was Son of Sam, he had a 44 caliber killer. He was called the 44 caliber killer. Or it could just be a number. Hard to say.
Yeah, I'm going to go with just a number because I don't see what the hell Reggie Jackson would have to do with anything in the film.
Well, I mean, other than it being a sport shirt, like who's number 44, but yeah. I don't know what it would have to do with, the story, though. Yeah. Okay, so, and last but not least, we bring ourselves to David Lynch himself and his 1986 seminal film, Blue Velvet. The discovery of a severed human ear found in a field leads a young man on an investigation related to a beautiful, mysterious nightclub singer and a group of psychopathic criminals who have kidnapped her child. This was directed by David Lynch, written by David Lynch, starring Isabella Rossellini, Kyle MacLachlan, Dennis Hopper, Laura Dern, Dean Stockwell, let's see, Jack Nance, of course, Brad Dourif. Good Lord, that's a great cast. And Dennis Hopper is off the chain in this, in speaking of unhinged performances. This is a movie that I saw when I was in high school. My buddy Andy and I rented it in sometime after, whenever it came out on video. And it became like a mainstay of our, we watched it over and over and quoted it constantly. And the whole Pabst Blue Ribbon line we say to each other to this day, whenever we get together, At some point, Andy will look at me and say, "What kind of beer do you like?" And I say, "Heineken." And then he launches into the "Fuck that shit, Pabst Blue Ribbon." And of course, the we have so many lines from this. Suave, goddamn, you're suave. The candy colored clown they call the Sandman bit is. My heart swells when that scene is happening. I absolutely love the whole Ben's apartment scene. It's so fantastic. It's amazing. This movie was actually 4 hours long when it was originally cut. And
every minute of it.
And they cut 2 hours out of it. And a lot of it was thought to be lost, but they were able to find enough of it to have... They didn't do a director's cut or an extended cut, but they included in the 2011 Blu-ray or DVD, one or the other. They included a lot of that missing footage in the special features. Of course, this is a neo-noir surrealist film, and it is there aren't a lot of people that do surrealism. Certainly not the way that David Lynch does from Eraserhead on. He just has an ability to make everyday situations and scenes look disturbing without like even knowing why. Like if you were to just look at a David Lynch scene, a lot of the time, just the setup, the living room of an area. I remember the first time I noticed it, like in Eraserhead, same thing. There's shots of just a table in the corner that just there's something off about it, and you can't put your finger on why. And I don't know if it's just the lighting, the way he sets up the shots, the angles, or what. But there's just something so bizarre about the way he films ordinary things, and never in none of his movies is that more apparent than in Blue Velvet, because it is totally a juxtaposition of everyday all American Midwestern life juxtaposed with the dirty underworld of that area. So this is one of my favorite movies. It be in my top, it's definitely in my top 10 movies of all time, horror or otherwise. I don't know that it's certainly not like most horror, like most David Lynch movies. It's not a straight horror, but there's a lot of horror elements in it. So Joe, start us off talking about Blue Velvet.
I went through the first hour and a half of this movie, and then it hit me. What the hell happened to Jeffrey's dad? We open up with this guy cutting the grass. And I'm like...
It was a weird...
At first, he like slaps the back of his neck, and I thought he got stung by a bee and fell down.
Mm-hmm.
And they never really established what it is. Yeah. I found out later he... had a heart attack, but like
he was also like in that neck traction or whatever they call that.
And he couldn't talk.
He had a stoma too.
Tracheotomy or something.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, my God,
was not that big of a deal, but
it was either heart attack or stroke or choking. But I don't think he was
from
choking,
what I read. I don't know what caused it, but from what I read, the research that I saw, it was he had a heart attack. But it messed him up.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, considering that was the catalyst that brought Jeffrey home, I would have expected we had checked in on his dad a little bit sooner than an hour and a half into this tome. So, one other thing of note is that scene where all the henchmen go and stop off at the hooker's place.
Yeah.
And then they bring one of the hookers with them, and she goes dancing on the roof of that car.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like on pins and needles waiting for her to fall through the roof. That roof was not made to support her girth.
Probably not. No.
Yeah.
No.
The movie's just so fucking weird.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to describe it. I did find out a little bit of research.
It Molly put his disease in you.
Yeah. Molly Ringwald was supposed to play Laura Dern.
Oh, really?
But Molly Ringwald's mom like forbid it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh. So like she had the part, and then like her mom stepped in and said, hell no. So
yeah, the scene where Isabella Rossellini is naked in the front lawn, it actually was inspired by something that actually happened to David Lynch. When he was a kid, he was walking down the street and this neighbor woman just was walking around the front yard, obviously had some kind of mental breakdown, completely naked, just like that. So he basically recreated it for.
Well, and thankfully, because what better way to get your, to get out of getting your ass handed to you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she
you know
him.
That guy. I was waiting for that action scene.
Well, you're like, I don't want to mess with this.
Yeah, I'll teach you to steal my best girl.
Yeah.
Oh wait, there's a naked woman. Is that your mom?
Yeah.
And then they just, all right, I'll leave you alone.
And
you're
then the
messed
kid's
up.
Like, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you he's know. Apologizing yeah, to yeah. Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Your life is way more messed up than what I was going to do.
Yeah, no kidding. You could have my girlfriend. You've got
to. She's probably thinking, she's definitely going to call me back now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I love seeing Dean Stockwell in this. It is such a bizarre role for him.
Yeah. But, so bizarre.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have much to say about this. This, much like the first Altered States. This is probably the last time I'm going to be watching this one.
Oh, I'll watch it numerous times.
I could see watching Mandy one more time, but this one, I think the third time I've seen this, and I think I'm done. I'm not getting anything new out of
it. I'm sure I'm in double digits easily with this one, and I will continue watching it periodically.
Yeah.
Derek, what do you think of Blue Velvet?
So this was actually my first David Lynch film I'd ever seen, aside from
it's a good introduction.
A few episodes of Twin Peaks. Yeah, I tried watching Twin Peaks, but I was in the middle of all kinds of schooling, so I just didn't stick with it. I want to pick it back up, but I could definitely see the similarities just from seeing some episodes of that and this. I think part of what you were touching on with how it's just bizarre to watch is I like it when the contrast of a very bright, very happy looking scene is very dark. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a good chunk of this movie, especially like you have the intro where it's looking like it's like a 1950s, like cheese. Yeah. Like it's got that, it's got the music, it's got the kind of fogginess to the picture and how it's just bright. And, but then after the heart attack, it's still like, it's still that, but then the heart attack and you just have a conflict of feelings while watching it. And then it does that weird zoom in into the grass and then it goes into the dirt and you see all the bugs and it's like, okay, that just set the tone for me. But, no, I enjoy, I've seen Kyle MacLachlan and a bunch of other stuff, including Twin Peaks, of course, but I always enjoy, I always know he's always going to be a good watch. Dennis Hopper, I know has a reputation for being pretty unhinged. And I tried to go into this as blind as I could. And all I, at the time, only I went off was the trailer, and my wife wanted to sit down and watch. I was like, oh, sure. How bad can it be from that trailer? Yeah. I was like, oh
yeah,
we found out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, so I was surprised to see when Laura Dern came in, I was like, oh, cool. Awesome. This cast. And then when we saw Isabella, the looking back, I remember all the other stuff I've seen her in, but the one that's kind of lives rent free in my house is she does this weird educational video series, or did, it's like probably 10 or 15 years old now, but it's called Green Porno, and she dresses up in these costumes of to educate how like bugs and animals mate. So she's got one about like bed bugs where it talks about like the male basically like stabs the females and then injects their seed that way.
Wow.
And so she's dressed up like a bed bug.
What's this on?
Yeah, look it up, it's weird. It's at YouTube. I think it was just a YouTube series, but it's on there. She does one for dolphins. The spider one is creepy. So I kept seeing her because she was still pretty much acting and talking the same way. So that added an extra layer of creepiness to me, especially when it really started getting weird.
Yeah.
You're just yelling at them. No, just run. Just get out of there. Get out of the apartment. Just don't go back to her. Yeah. Come on, man. And then the love triangle between him and Laura. And it's like, man, what are you doing? But yeah, again, definitely fever dreamy. I really, really enjoyed it. I always like a movie that leaves me just going, what in the hell did I just watch?
I love those too.
I think we talked about before. Bo is Afraid was another one I'd mentioned to you as previously. It's along the same lines to
me
in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But No, it was a fun one for me. I want to definitely want to check out more. I know about Eraserhead, but I've never seen it, so that I might watch that one.
Yeah, that one's definitely. It was his first movie, and very strange film. It's much weirder than this even. And of course, he did do some that were basically mainstream films, like The Elephant Man was way more mainstream. Mm-hmm. The Elephant Man. He did the original Dune, which wasn't great. And then there was a movie called The Straight Story that he did, 20 years ago, maybe, that is very, it's not like these, it's not surreal at all. Although there's a few moments maybe, but not like this. So, okay, well, I guess that's it for this week in terms of my pick, but, the next pick is Joe's. So Joe, what do you got for us next week?
We're going to get into some German medical horror.
Mm.
We're going to be watching Anatomy from 2000, which, for those of you following at home, is a rental, as well as Anatomy 2 from 2003. And then lastly, we're going to be watching Autopsy, which I believe is on Peacock. So excellent. Brush up on your German and brush up on your Grey's Anatomy and join us in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that'll be fun. And we're having special guests, right? Is that true? Yeah. Did you say that?
No.
Oh, okay.
We're going to have some guests.
We're going to have some guests too. So.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, go to www.cinescarehorror.com and check out our merch. Also, be on the lookout. Chicago, I've been getting messages from Chicago Horror Film Festival, and we will be that last year they did this thing where they take your trailer and post it and you have people come and vote for it. I don't know if it has any influence on whether we get into that film festival or not, but we will be posting on our Facebook group. So if you're not on there, go. It's the CineScare Horror Movie Horror Fans Group, I think is what it's called, something like that. Join
something
that.
Something like that, yeah.
Join just that. Google you'll CineScare. Keep up to date with all up. Of our stuff. And our movie on Halloween night will be, we should start hearing invitations for film festivals coming up, pretty much starting in March and on. So
any day now.
Any day now.
It bring. The phone's ringing off the hook.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it should be fun. Hopefully we can get back to Chicago and that was a fun film festival. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I thank you, Derek, for joining us.
Derek, thanks for joining us.
We'll give you a little.
Thanks for having me. That was fun.
Audience applause there. So thank you for joining us and go out there and check out any books narrated on Audible. Go check out any books narrated by Derek Austin. You can find those by Gord Rollo,
Joe Hemp.
Yep. And also check, he narrated The Last House, my novel, and he be on the lookout coming. I can't speak all of a sudden. Be on the lookout pretty soon. Devil's Glen, the new audiobook and book cover relaunch is going to be happening soon. I can't say when because we're still working on the book cover, but hopefully soon. So, all right. Well, we'll see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
You've got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Save the spare.